Today is the beginning of the season of Advent. And it's something that we, for many years back, never really, I think, touched upon and discussed, which is okay. And then sometime back, probably 12 years ago or more, 12 years at least, 13 since I've been the pastor here, I began to look at some of these things and hear some of these things and realize that it's important to take some of this that we hear of sometimes your denominational settings to do in Advent. Because really, Advent is just a preparation. Now the thing is, I've got 3 pages on this side and about 4.5 to 5 on this side. Gee, what to do, Lord? I think we can go through this fairly quick. Because this came about this morning that when I got up about 5:30-ish, all of a sudden it just hit me, and I woke up and something hit my mind, my brain, and began to do some thinking here. And so we're going to touch upon this, but here it is. You're going to get the 5 o'clock one. This is it. I tell you what, I had this, and so I had to delete some of the things I was going to talk about to end with what I wanted to share. But it says here that today is kicking off the beginning of Advent. Today, more than ever before, I believe that we need to be reminded of the upcoming birth of who? Jesus Christ. We know that he gets lost in the shuffle really easy, doesn't he? So many things happening. I mean, my goodness, we had, you know, Thanksgiving wasn't even here, and we already started having, you know, Black Friday sales and pre-Black Friday sales, and, well, you name it. Monday is Cyber Monday or something like that. It's all for the mighty dollar. But it's these things that the world wants to draw our attention to very easily, and we are easily, do you believe this, that we're easily drawn away? I do. We are easily drawn away to those things because of the advertising and the hoop and the holler and all of this and the glitz and blah, 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 blah. And we've got to do something within ourselves to take a stand, amen? Take a stand to say, you know what, I'm tired of having the world draw me through what it wants to draw me through. I want to see what God has for me and stand true to him. When it's all been said and done. Yeah, when it's all been said and done, it's not going to say, hey, did you get to that special, well, it used to be 40-inch flat screen TVs. Now it's like, you know, 80-inch flat screen TVs for like $9.99 or something like that. You know, it's like crazy. So we gotta refocus, guys. We the church, we here, his people, we need to keep ourselves focused on the things of Christ coming into this world, whom God sent into this world to what? Cleanse man of their sins. That's the whole part and the whole preface of Jesus coming, is to what? Take man's sins away from him, to cleanse us white as snow, to reconcile us back to God. Just one person was going to do that. A little babe in a manger over 2,000 years ago. Advent is the season of the year that's leading us up to Christmas. It's observed with various traditions and rituals by many religious organizations. You know those out there. Very strong in the Catholic persuasion and the Lutheran persuasion, the Methodist. All these mainline and probably the Presbyterians, the mainline denominationals would have a calendar and actually have weekly things that go through this. So throughout the year, one type or another, the celebration has been coming into many evangelical churches as well. I think maybe some like myself, we began to look at it thinking like, you know what? That might be a good thing to remind ourselves of. Remind ourselves of what? Hope, love, joy, peace. The world doesn't give that to you. It may give it to you for a while, but it'll take it back. But these things that we have from God are eternal. These are things that are always there. He never changes. Thank you, Lord. So the word of this, Advent, is this. The word means arrival, or an appearing, or coming into place. Advent is not mentioned in the Bible. It's not in the scriptures like Jesus spoke that Advent would come. But it's something that we look at in the prophetic, and as we looked at in the Old Testament, prophesying the birth of a Savior, that being of Jesus. So the word itself means arrival or an appearing or coming into place. The Advent celebration is both a commemoration of Christ's first coming
And here's what it is, guys, for us today is what? The anticipation of his second coming. For he said, I leave, and I will return as I've left. And be watchful, for you not know the hour that I'm coming back, but I'm coming back for my church. So we today are expecting the second coming to be ready for that. The Advent season will last for the four Sundays, and it ends on Christmas Eve. So we're going to look this year, and the first word we're going to look at is hope. We're going to kind of look at hope, love, joy, peace. The first candle that I lit today was that representation of hope. Now we understand, or we should know, that hope, by the very nature of hope, it's tied to what? Faith. It's tied to your faith. Now, I wanted to turn here. Hope is not in the sense of an optimistic outlook or a wishful thinking without any foundation. That's the, as we look at this in the scriptures and hope, what it describes here. But in the sense of a confident expectation based on solid certainty. The Bible, amen. The Bible is God's word. I'll stand upon it. I'll trust it. I'll believe it. I'll follow it. It says it. That's what it's about, amen. On the solid certainty, biblical hope rests on God's promises, particularly those pertaining to Christ's return. So certain is the future of the redeemed that the New Testament sometimes speaks of the future events in the past tense as though they've already come. Hope is never inferior to faith, but it's an extension of faith. Hope, faith. Faith is the present possession of grace. Hope is confidence in grace's future accomplishments. So, the very nature of hope is linked to faith. Hebrews 11:1 says this, that by faith, what? We understand. Now, faith is the substance, or faith is the realization of things hoped for. The confidence, or the evidence of things not seen. Faith is the realization of things hoped for. We also find that it's linked to trust. Hope is linked to trust. In Psalms 33:20-21, New Living says this, we put our hope in the Lord. He is our help and our shield. In him our hearts rejoice, for we trust in his holy name. Romans 15:13. Now may the God of hope fill you with all what? Joy and peace in believing. Here again, that you may abound in hope. By the power of the Holy Spirit. Abound in hope. Plentiful. It's there that we will have. Amen. And then it talks about in the New Living, that same passage of Romans 15:13. I pray that God, the source of hope, will fill you complete with joy and peace because you trust him. Are you trusting God today? Then you will overflow with a confident hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. Here again, we find the talking about that of the Holy Spirit. We've talked about the Holy Spirit and we will continue to talk about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit pretty well needs to be in every service, don't you agree? Because that's what drives the church of today, is that of the Holy Spirit. It's the open of the invitation that we say, Lord, come and give us your presence. Well, he's going to give us his presence by that of the Holy Spirit. Hope is also linked with expectation. So remember, hope is linked with faith, hope is linked with trust, hope is linked with expectation. Titus 1:1-4. The New King James says, Paul, a bondservant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect and the acknowledgement of the truth which accords with godliness, in hope of eternal life which God, who cannot lie, promised before time began. Before time even began. The promise is there, but has in due time manifested his word through preaching. These are just some things that we're just trying to get launched into where I want to go, but that hope. New Living says this of Titus, this letter is from Paul, a slave of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ. I have been sent to proclaim faith to those God has chosen, or to proclaim faith, to strengthen the faith of those that God has chosen, and to teach them to know the truth that shows them how to live godly lives. This truth gives them what? Confidence that they have eternal life, which God, who does not lie, promised them before the world began. This is our hope of today. Now, hope is based on a lot of things, and one of the areas that I want to look at and go through, but our crux of today and understanding as it is of our salvation. We have that hope. We have the guarantee of eternity. We know where we're going to spend eternity for those that have received Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, invited Him into their lives, ask Him to forgive them of their sins. Lord, come and fill me with the Holy Spirit. Lead me, guide me, teach me. So that we know when that time comes, when that end comes. So we've talked about the hope is faith, linked to that, linked to trust, linked to expectation. Now think back about a day or two ago. Maybe a week, a month. Have you been going through something? Maybe you're going through something now. Whatever that something is, I have no idea. But I can look at you and say, you're going through something. Because I go through something all the time. It usually comes and we're not expecting it. And when those times come, it's like, where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord. But let's take a quick look. And this is an area of hope that we have. It says this in 2 Corinthians 4, verses 7 to 10. 2 Corinthians, talking about being cast down, but I'm not conquered. And this is the things that we go through today. Things come upon us, life in general, things happen. A lot of them are totally out of your control. So what are you going to do when those times come? Well, let's listen or read here in New King James in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, 7 through 10. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels. Remember we had that song about he poured himself into earthen vessels, or, you know, along that line, and those vessels become wealth or valuable. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. Verse 8, we are hard pressed on every side by troubles, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Are we not driven to despair? You know, sometimes when you get to that point of perplexed and despair, that stuff will drive you into further despair, right? Persecuted, hunted down. There's another word there we can use. Persecuted. You're hunted down. These are some things that are added to it with that of a little bit out of the New Living. But not forsaken. Not forsaken. You're not abandoned by God. Isn't that great to know that we're not abandoned by God, our Creator, that farmed us, that breathed life into us, that He's not done with us once we... Even, I tell you what, even when you mess up, He's not done with you. Because Jesus Christ has come to reconcile us back to Him. And there's times we might need to repent again in our Christian walk. One time of repentance is not going to fill all of your sins that you come up with throughout your life before you're called home. Our initial repentance, our initial receiving of Jesus Christ, our Lord, puts us into that understanding of, Lord, thank you for that, and I know where I'm going to spend eternity. But now as I'm a child of yours and I'm going through this life, there's a lot of things that come against me, things that I have to deal with. I may not always deal with them with a good attitude. Forgive me, Lord. That's that repentance. That's that sin. May have ill thoughts of someone. Forgive me, Lord, for that. May say I don't like someone. Forgive me, Lord, for saying that. All of these things that we go day in and day out. Oh, you told me to do something, Lord, and I decided not to do it. To know to do good and not do it is sin. You're not going to get through this life without some kind of sin, even after you receive Jesus Christ. But we have the forgiveness of those sins if we know who to return back to, who to turn to, who to know that God sent Jesus Christ. Oh, we had that expectation, that hope, that understanding. Praise God. Okay, not abandoned by God. Struck down, but not destroyed. Verse 10, always carrying about in the body of the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body, my body. How? Through suffering, our bodies continue to share in the death of Jesus so that the life of Jesus may also be seen in our bodies. We go through stuff. It's just bound to happen. But that's when we have that believe it or not, a closeness with God. That's when we usually cry out to him, isn't it? So now look at this about the earthen vessels. Paul's day, people often kept valuable things in jars. These jars were made out of just earth, mud, just earthen vessels. Not value, just clay. The jars themselves were of no value, but the things they contained would be of value. I was of no value until I met Jesus. And then I had value. I was bought with a price. I'm no longer my own. But now I have value. It's a kingdom value, amen? It's what God has put into me, what he works into me and continues to pour into me as I allow him to do that. Lord, more of you and less of me. But these things contained, let's go back. The jars themselves were of no value, but the things they contained would be of value. Paul says that the people are weak and they will die in the end. You know, that's one thing I can guarantee you. We're all going to die. Remember somebody was telling me that they had a person come and say, hey, I pray for people that are sick for a particular type of disease. And this person says they either get healed or they die. And I go, wow, well, that's pretty well right there on the rails of, yes, I can believe that. You either get healed or you die. God shows his power as he works in and through us, weak people. Paul, we know, had great troubles, but his troubles would not destroy him. He may not always understand what God was doing. Do you always understand what God is doing in your life? I sure don't. There's some times we get into stuff and I'm thinking, what am I learning here, Lord? And pretty soon he tells me, if I just stay close enough to him and just hang on. He did not always know what to do, Paul did. But one thing he did not lose hope. He had a belief and a trust in God. I hope you've got that same belief and trust in God. He suffered many times for what he believed. We'll do that as believers, won't we? You know, there's times people will mock you. People will say you're crazy. Things will happen in your life, whatever the case might be. And people come and say, oh, you believe in this. You believe in Christ. Oh, you believe in God, somebody that you can't see. Yes, you believe in the Holy Spirit. Yeah, the Holy Spirit, sure. If it wasn't for him, where would I be? God did not leave Paul. He will not leave us. He may have lost a battle, Paul, but he would not lose the war. You know, you may lose a particular battle here and there, but in the outcome, you're going to win totally. As God helped Paul, those around him would see and be able to see that of Jesus. That's what it's about. When it's all been said and done, and how did I live my life? How did I hold myself before you, God? How did people see me? What do they remember of me, Lord? Did I share enough about you? Did I glorify you enough, even in those times of trials and distress and persecutions and all these troubles? Lord, oh, I hope they saw more of you than me just being a complainer. God used Paul by these troubles to bring life to the Christians at Corinth. Paul knew that he would die, that he could die during many of these experiences, but he didn't lose hope. But even if he died, guess what? Even if you die, guess what? As a Christian, as you die, where do you go? Heaven! Eternity! A guarantee! Jesus says, I go to prepare a place for you there. If that were so, I would not tell you this. So we have the best of all things. Amen. He did not lose hope. You don't lose hope. Even if he died, you'll live again. The fact that God made Jesus alive after his death makes us certain of that, right? Dead in the ground in the tomb for 3 days, rose, walked the earth for 40 days, ascended to heaven. Therefore, death would not separate Paul from Jesus or from the Christians there in Corinth, but more and more people would come to know what God was doing through Paul. More and more people will know what God is doing through you, me, us, his church. That's what it's about. Lord, if I'm going through this and I don't understand it, Lord, I'm going to glorify you. Lord, if I come across and somebody says, how's your life going? And you say, it's going well, but we've got some situations. It's not perfect, you know, to a point. I've got this or that or whatever the case may be. And they go, well, how can you still be so full of happiness or joy or so confident of what you're going through? It's because my confidence isn't what I see here. My confidence and trust is my God. And although I don't understand it, I know that he's there because he says he will never leave nor forsake us. And I take him at his word. Do you take God at his word? If you take him at his word, no matter what the world tells you, even sometimes other Christian people will tell you, you won't even listen to them because you are tuned into who? God. through His Word, through that of the Holy Spirit, through the leading of the Holy Spirit, through the teaching of the Holy Spirit, all of these things coming into our lives that no matter what you say, you ain't going to get me persuaded that God's not God and that He cares for me because He cares for me. Paul is reminding us that though we may think we are at the end of our rope, anybody been at the end of your rope? That's not a fun place to be, is it? I like this. Although we may be at the end of our rope, we are never at the end of hope. Even though you might be at the end of your rope, you're never at the end of hope. There will always be hope. Remember how we talked about that? Hope linked to faith. Hope linked to trust. Hope is linked to expectation. God never abandons us because Christ has won that victory over death. We have eternal life. We have to and we need to understand that our trials, they're just opportunities for Christ to demonstrate His power and His presence in and through us. Now the enemy might come and say, so you're dealing with this. I thought God loved you. How could He love you and you're dealing with this? Well, I hope that I can sit there and say, but it's through this that it's just going to drive me closer to my God and I'm going to bring honor and glory to Him. How about you? Then I'm going to sit there and say, Lord, I want this to be a testimony to You on Your power. Of even when you go through a dark time, a gloomy time, a very sad time, a horrendous time, that it's not me being able to have the strength to do it or to hold up, but it's me calling upon His strength to live in me. The hope that I have of that, that He's there for me. Do you have that hope? The hope. So as we come now into this season, there's a better hope. Back in Hebrews 7:19, it says this, for the law made nothing perfect, or you could say complete. The law didn't make everything complete. On the other hand, there is the bringing in of a better hope through which we draw near to God. Hebrews 7:19, New King James, for the law made nothing perfect. On the other hand, there is the bringing in of a better hope through which we draw near to God. We find in this world that the world has many what? False hopes. We in the world put our hopes, our ambitions, and so many things that drive us as a person into the things of this world. It's kind of normal, I guess, because guess where we're at? Who here is in this world? I am, you know? And so we have those things among us or within us. One of the things that the world kind of you hear out there is we think that by being good, having good works is going to get you where? To heaven. I used to think that, did you? I used to believe it. I thought I was so wrapped up in believing that I was trying to do good. You know, I wasn't an angel, but I tried to be good. And an ambulance went by way back, and I would say a prayer for wherever that ambulance was going or whoever was in there saying, Lord, I don't know what that situation is, but be with that person. Help them, whatever the case is. Traffic accidents you'd see, oh, Lord, I don't know what the outcome was, but, oh, Lord, just be with the families and keep them safe. I was good. I saw people's, you know, despair and going through bad times, and I was there to pray and ask God to take care of them. That's being good. But then I come to realize as I get to an understanding of the Word of God when it was opened up to me by attending services and how God got into my life, that doesn't get you there, Tim. You talk about being surprised. Were you surprised when you found out that being good doesn't guarantee you heaven? It was like, oh my goodness! What would have happened had I died? And I'd gone to heaven and I'd seen God and I said, I'm here, God! I was a good person! And you say, but did you know my son Jesus? Oh yeah, I knew him, yeah. I got the little baby manger thing, you know, that I put up at Christmas. No, I would have been totally surprised. Thank God. Hallelujah! That I got enlightened to the thing of needing Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. It's not a crazy thing. It's just like you just know you need Him. But the world is given a lot of false hopes. And that one of being, because how many here have heard people say that?
Well, how are you doing? I'm doing well. When you die, where are you going to go? I'm going to go to heaven. How come? Well, I've been a good person. Wow, okay. Well, that's not what the Word says, you know. You have to kind of begin to be led by that of who? The Holy Spirit, to figure out how you're going to talk to this person or how you're going to approach that subject in a loving, compassionate, caring way. You certainly don't want to go, huh, laugh at them and say, well, that's crazy. You're not going to get there because of that. Because they may not have been enlightened. They may have just been hearing that. It's, you know, we hear of America. Everybody in America thinks they're a Christian because they live in a supposed Christian nation, right? Well, I'm an American. I'm automatically a Christian. No, you're not. And sometimes that's getting to kind of be a gray area there. Although God's law is a perfect law, it is perfect. Man can never make it to heaven by way of the law because no one can keep the law perfectly. But God did give us a better hope. And that hope is being in that of the hope of salvation through that of Jesus Christ. Amen. The hope of salvation and the hope of glory, which is in Christ. Wow. Isn't God great that he loves you enough that he's made a way? Prepared a way for all of us? The enemy, the old devil, thought he had it made, but oh no! The devil thought he had it made when Jesus was arrested, when Jesus was beat, when Jesus was put on the cross, when he died and gave up his last breath. The devil thought, I've got the victory! No, he didn't. No, he didn't. 1 Thessalonians talks about that hope of salvation. 1 Thessalonians 5:8. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet, the hope of salvation. Another talks about that hope of glory. Colossians 1:27 about the hope of glory. It says, to them God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is what? Christ in you. You, Tim. The hope of glory. The hope of salvation, the hope of glory. Hallelujah. That's the best two things to let people know about. Amen. Just like, wow, you know, you found a good sale this past week, or, you know, you came across something that was unexpected and it was so great, and you got some friends out there or a family or whoever that you're a family member, and one of the first things you might do, it used to be you had to wait until you got home to call them. Now you can be standing right there, take out your cell phone, call and say, hey, Sam, you're not going to believe this. This is a great buy here in so-and-so store, aisle 13. Oh, my, you know, right down to where it's at. You want to proclaim that to somebody. I hear you're looking for something. I just found this. It's on a great sale. Here it is. Why don't we do that with that of Christ, the hope of our salvation, the hope of the glory that we have, that we got, hey, I don't have the best, you know, flat screen TV for you, but I got something better. That of Christ dying for you to give you glory, to give you hope. Wow. Eternity. Because one day all of this is going to pass away. So the hope of salvation, the hope of glory. 1 Thessalonians 5:8, the hope of salvation. Colossians 1:27, the hope of glory. So now this hope that is in us, we need to be ready to what? Share it. You need to be ready to react to it. You know, you got the best thing since what? Sliced bread. You got the best recipe that you've ever heard of for how to do a turkey. You know, how to make dressing, how to do any of these things. We've got the best message for that of, oh, the birth of Jesus Christ and what he came into this world to do. The hope that I have, the hope that you can have. So let's take a look at this, and this is kind of wrapping it up. So we're doing okay. It's only 20 till. I've been trying to keep moving along here and have much of it written out so that I don't kind of get off base here. So anyway, that'll help me, because you know sometimes I only get to like a half a page of three, and it's like, that ain't good. But being that we're on the fast track, we want to cover, you know, these areas of that hope, love, joy, peace. So I can't take this into a second week, because we'll have to extend Christmas into January. I just don't think we can do that. So let's look at the area of hope in our lives today. There's three areas. The first one is called good hope. The second one would be called blessed hope. And the last one is called living hope. Good hope, blessed hope, and living hope. Second Thessalonians chapter 2, 16 and 17 speaks of that of good hope. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 16 and 17. Now may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and our God and Father, who has loved us. Anybody here ever felt like you weren't loved? You've always been loved by someone. That of God, amen. And given us everlasting consolation, and here it is, what? Good hope by grace. Comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work. Comfort your hearts and establish strengthen you in every good work and word. But that's the good hope that we have. Who has loved us? What does it say? John 3:16. We all know that as one of those scriptures that just kind of is the first one we always heard and kind of remembers, and it's short and sweet, isn't it? For God so loved the world that gave us his only begotten Son. For God so loved you. To reconcile you back, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever shall believe in him and confess him as their Lord. Amen. Let's go down to that blessed hope. Titus chapter 2, verses 11 to 14. This is that blessed hope. Okay, so we're looking at these areas of hope in our lives of today. And it says in Titus 2, 11 to 14, for the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. He's not selective. It's not just a certain club. It's just not, you know, this group here and not that group over there. But he appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present age. Verse 13, looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, who? Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own. Oh, you're special. It says here, to purify for himself his own special people, zealous for good works. Ooh, are you zealous? You know, I had some times when I do some of these services in some of these apartments and even some of these nursing home and all that, some of these people say, man, you really get excited. And man, that's just the Spirit of God in me. And you begin to get to that point of it's the zealousness, it's that excitement, it's that thing that's in you, that it's not that you just want to make a boisterous thing or a boisterous noise, but you just begin to share the things of God, the love of God, the care of God, the concern of God, the peace of God, the joy of God. Everything that God has. And you want to just open it up to everybody because it's like it's for you too. Don't you want it? Oh, man. And they go, well, I wish I could have what you have. You can have what I have. It's really simple. I didn't go to school for it. I didn't buy it. You know, I didn't have to tithe to the church, you know, 6 months of my whole life just before it's given to me. No, it's freely given. Freely asked, freely given to us. But we need to be zealous with it. We need to be knowing that we are a special people. It says in his word that we are a peculiar people. Anybody that believes the God and the word and trusting a God that you've never seen, you're a peculiar people. You believe Jesus died, hung on a cross, and rose from the dead, and ascended into heaven, and people could see him ascend into the heaven. Do you believe that? Yes, I believe that. You're a peculiar person. You're saying the Holy Spirit came and filled that room in Acts and all these people and started speaking in unknown languages and tongues of other lands and all that. And were you there? No. But you believe it? I believe it. You're a peculiar person. Okay. I'm peculiar. But I counted up there with a lot of good, solid, peculiar people. Of wonderful men and women of faith
that have gone on before us and that are living up today, but the power of God working in their lives and showing himself into so many places around this globe, amen, in foreign lands, around America, and he's still doing it to today. You believe that? Powerful things are happening out there in the world, and God is moving. And I'm going to say, God, I want you to move here at Harvesters Church on West Cemetery Road. We're not dead. Amen. We're alive. Hallelujah. Amen. Zealousness, excitement, expectation. We've got to be expecting, just like Christmas. Now let's go back and let's get kind of worldly here, okay? Amen. What? You did. Good one there. You know, as a kid, my expectation on Christmas morning, I couldn't wait. How about you? I'd go to bed. Now, I remember back in the ways, and this I'll give this up for the rest of the season here, but I might share it again. But I remember back in my early years, we didn't see the Christmas tree or nothing until all of a sudden we go to bed on Christmas Eve, and bless my mom and dad, they'd put that tree up all on Christmas Eve, and we'd come down there Christmas morning, and wow, Santa Claus. How did he get that down? We don't even have a chimney. But I was one of those kids that I would go to bed and I'd wake up, must be about 4 o'clock in the morning or something. Mom and Dad just probably laid down and little Timmy's up and I'm looking. I don't wake up anybody first. I go down the steps and all and I look in the living room and I'm going, wow. I was just mesmerized. Wow, a tree. Gifts. Wow, you know. And sit there and probably ponder it for quite a bit, you know. Maybe I'm sure go around going, well, what's that? You know? Those were some great times. And it's not that it was a lot of great things and big things. I remember when we were having some hard times, very hard times. You know what one of the most exciting things I got as a Christmas gift? A 2D cell flashlight. Yeah. But it was rubber. It was like all rubber type, you know, and you could turn it. But I got that. Man, that was like cat's meow. A flashlight, you know. Hallelujah. So it wasn't a Game Boy. It wasn't a cell phone. It wasn't an iPad. It wasn't anything of those days of what you would think you'd want. But it was just like some of the most simplistic things. Because it meant something. Little kid. What do you want for Christmas? I don't know. We live in a small town. We have to go down to St. Louis, you know, 60, 70 miles to get there. Told my mom one time, I said, all I want is a manger set. I wasn't even going to church. My mom and dad never took me to church. There were some things that they had dealing with the church, and they had a falling out and, you know, whatever it is. But I never remember ever going to church. But I knew there was Jesus. There was something put into me by that of the Spirit of God, even at a young age, that even though I wasn't taught it, I knew there was something about it because I said, I just want a manger with the baby Jesus. Did I truly understand it all? Probably not. But I just knew it was part of the season, and I wanted to celebrate it. And I've got that manger set to today, and that was probably back in 1961 or 2, somewhere around there, 62 or 3. But it's those things that you remember with expectation. Well, we have to have, you know, in the natural, we've got expectations. We need that expectation and that of the unseen things, that hope that we talk about, amen, that we have that expectation. I have an expectancy of that of God. Do you? And my expectancy of him is not anything way out there, but I just trust him for who he said he is and what he says he's going to do and the concern he has for me, and that just is all that I need. Amen. Done. You can debate if it's real. You can have this if the earth is that old. You can do if that happened. I'm not wasting my breath. I just know who I know in my spirit is that is my God. Hallelujah. And you can have whatever opinion you got, that's okay. I've got mine, you've got yours, you know, hallelujah. But it's just that expectation that we need to get, and don't let the world take it away from you. Don't let the world rob it from you. Don't let the world talk you out of it. Don't let the world get into your head to say you're crazy for believing these things, when you know in truality it is true because God's word never changes and it's always there. Oh, hallelujah. Okay, we're almost there. I only got one more thing to share. And lastly, everybody say lastly, are you glad? And this is that it's a living hope, a living hope. 1 Peter chapter 1,
3 to 5.
The living hope. 1 Peter 1, 3 to 5. It's talking about a heavenly inheritance. And this is that thing that we're expecting. This is that hope that we got. You know, down here it's great and praise God. And I want all that I want all I can get from God while I'm here upon this sphere. And I want to be blessed and I want to have abundance and I want to be whatever it is. Just give me more, Lord, whatever it is. But if you don't give me any more, many times I've said, I had my kids say, Dad, what do you want for Christmas? After we get along into age, what do you really want for Christmas, Dad? You know what? I look at them, I go, I don't need nothing else. I got you, my kids. I got my grandkids. I got a wonderful wife, home, car, heat, air conditioner, food. What do I need? Why don't you want a big TV? The one we got's working. Don't you want this? Don't you want that? I don't really need it, but sure, okay, you know. And that's the thing when I go to my God. I say, God, I come to you with petitions and requests. But Lord, I find it hard to ask because I've already got the best thing that you could give me, and that was Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. The eternity that I'm promised. The place that I'm going to go when I breathe my last upon this earth. What more does a man or a woman need to know other than that? That's where you're going to go to spend eternity. But my God and your God, if you know him, he will tell you, well, Tim, that's good, but I got more for you. I want to bless you. I want to give you things. I want to take care of you. I want you to have the things as long as the things don't have you. And that's the thing that we've got to watch, is that the things don't have us, but we've got them. He can give you all kinds of untold riches, but once the riches get a hold of you and you don't want to do this or that, or you're bound by that, then it's an errant thing in your life, and it's going to go downhill from there. But, you know, he can give you a gazillion dollars as long as you go, I'm going to control it. It's not going to control me, you know. But I'm going to keep it in perspective of the things of what God's about. And he is my source. Is he your source? Heavenly inheritance. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who, according to his abundant mercy, has begotten us again to a living hope. A living hope. Through the what? Resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Jesus had to come and be born of a virgin through Mary. Amen. Way back into the manger, way back in the beginning of the New Testament, he came for a planned purpose, to bring eternity for those of us. Hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible, to an inheritance that's imperishable. That's what my head was. Imperishable, it's not going to perish, and undefiled, and that does not fade away. It's reserved in heaven for you. You've got something reserved in heaven, guys. It's not going to pass away. It's reserved. It's got your name on it. It's got your DNA on it. It's got whatever it is. It's got your last four of your social security number. I don't know. It's got your Google password on it. I don't know. It's got something that ties you into it. But you've got something in heaven that's there for you. Reserved in heaven for you who are kept by the power of God. How are we kept in this? Not by my power, but by his power. Not by my might, but by his might. Amen? But we are kept by the power of God through the faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Wow. Oh, I'm getting a little dizzy up here. Better have some water. We should have probably had a halftime intermission where you could stand up and get drinks and come back in, maybe. I don't know. So when you talk about hope today, the hope we talk of today is centered on our eternity. We talk about a lot of good things. Remember we talked about in 2 Corinthians there about, you know, you're perplexed, you're down, you're trying, things are coming against you, you're hit by all sides and the things we have. There's a hope there that even though when I'm going through those things, I'm going to come through them. Amen. God will give me the strength. He'll give me the stamina if I just wait long enough. Sit long enough, listen, whatever it is, and say, how are you going to get me through this? How are we going to do this? And that's well and good, but here's the thing that I can rejoice in, why I can say that in that instance of 2 Corinthians about being hard-pressed and perplexed and all that, is that no matter what goes on in this life, eternity is waiting for me. I got a reservation, you know?
You know, you make a reservation on the motel and all that, they send you a text or something like that or an email. Here's your reservation number. Can't wait for you to get there. About 2 days, 3 days out, do you ever get an email from them saying, hey, just letting you know, we're looking forward for you to come. We're all ready for you. Wouldn't that be wild if you got that from heaven? Woo! Hey, Tim, your reservation's all set. We'll see you in about 3 to 4 days, you know, could be 3 to 4, you know. Anyway, there's a joke about that about somebody, but we can't go into that because we're out of time. But it's that reservation in heaven. We got a reservation. And I don't need them to call and say, oh, Tim, your reservation's about coming. I just know it's already there. It's done. It's, you know what? When I get there, they're not going to say, and what card do you want this left on? There ain't no, it's already on the blood of Jesus. But it's been paid for by that of Christ. My debt's been paid. Woo! Hallelujah. That's the hope, man. That's the hope of Advent. As I'm going into this season of Christmas and the birth of Christ is coming, my, that's one of those areas of hope. 1 Corinthians says this in 15:19 in the New Living. 1 Corinthians 15:19. And if our hope in Christ is only for this life, we are more to be pitied than anyone else in the world. If our hope in Christ is only for this life here, pity on you. Because it's really for the eternity that we're scheduled for. Okay? But what better thing to know as to where your eternity lies but with that of the resurrection of Christ and what it does for us. Amen? So that's our area of hope. So we find that in this we have good hope, blessed hope, living hope. Amen.